the sacrificial fires, then the demigods will all become satisfied. Avani jangri yugalam asit slokyo balir mahan aishvaryam matulam lebe gatim chaikanti tinam tuya. By bathing your feet, the exalted Bali Maharaj attained not only glorious fame and unequaled power, but also had also the final destination of pure devotees. Apastengangi avane janyas trilokan suchayo punas sirasadatta ya sarva swaryata sagaratmaja. The water of the river Ganges has purified the three worlds, having become transcendental by bathing your feet. Lord Shiva accepted that water on his head, and by that water's grace, the sons of the king of Sagar attained to heaven. Deva Deva Jagannata Punya Sravana Kirtana Yaduttama Yaduttama Muttama Sloka Narayana Namostute. O Lord of Lords, Master of the Universe, O you whose glories is most pious to hear and chant, O best of the Vyadus, O you whose fame is recognized in excellent poetry, O Supreme Lord Narayan, I offer you my humble obeisances. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Ayasye Bhavato Geham Aham Arya Samanvita Yadu Chakra Druham Hatva Vita Risye Surit Priyam. Supreme Lord said, I will come to your home with my elder brother, but first I must satisfy my friends and well-wishers by killing the enemy of the Yadu clan. Purport. Akura glorified Krishna in text 16 as Yaduttama, the best of the Yadus. Krishna here confirms this by saying, in effect, since I am the best of the Yadus, I must kill the enemy of the Yadus, Kams, and then I will come to your home. So here we see in so many ways, Akura, he was hoping. Of course, we would all hope if somehow or other we had this opportunity to drive the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a chariot. We would also be very anxious that Lord come into our home and bless it with his lotus feet. He's giving so many glories of those lotus feet. Said the water of the Ganges touched those lotus feet, and thus Lord Shiva accepted that water upon his head. And even the sons of Lord Sagara, they attain heaven by touching that water that has touched your lotus feet. Just like last night we were discussing, we know that Narottam Das has got one song where he says, Gangara parasha hoile paschate pava darshani pavitra koro e tomaragun. He's describing the qualities of the Vaishnava, and he says, Gangara parasha. The actual word is sparsha. We know the word sparsha from Bhagavad Gita. What sloka? Matra sparsha. Sparsha means to touch. But this is simple Bengali, so he says parasha. Gangara parasha. Paschati. We know paschati means after. Pavan. We become purified after some time. Touching and touching and touching. Just like next year in 2013 in January, there's Kumbh Mela. And everyone will come to Prayag, and many people will do Kalpavas. 1 month they will stay in Prayag and take bath every day in the Ganga. So slowly, slowly, slowly they become purified. But Narottam is discussing the qualities of the Vaishnava. He says, Darshani pavitra koro e tomaragun. Just by getting darshan of a Vaishnava we become pure. Ganga we have to take bath again and again and again and again and again and again. Paschat, after some time, we become purified. But darshani pavitra koru, just darshan matra se, if we just get, by getting darshan of a Vaishnava, we became purified. can ask, just like one sadhu one time in Kumbh Mela, he asked me, why we're giving more emphasis to Vaishnava than Ganga? Why we're giving more emphasis to Vaishnava than Ganga? I said, I don't know. He said, because that Ganga one time touched Lord's foot and ran away. One time, Lord Bamandev, he kicked a hole in the universe, the Karana Jal leaked through, touched his foot, and Ganga ran away from the Lord. He said, but Vaishnava, again and again, he's touching the lotus feet of the Lord, and he's always running toward the Lord. Ganga, she touched and ran away. One time touched and ran away. But the Vaishnava, daily he's touching lotus feet of the Lord and always running towards the Lord. So we give more emphasis on the devotee. Anyway, Akura has very nicely described the wonderful lotus feet of the Lord. He's very anxious those lotus feet would step inside of his house. But Krishna's thinking first. Krishna said, refuse. He said, no, first I have to enliven. You have said that I am Yaduttama, the best of the Yadus. So therefore let me prove that statement first by killing the enemy of the Yadus. This Kant is the enemy of the Yadus. After I have killed him, then I will come and enter your home and satisfy all your desires. So Sukadeva Goswami continues, Sri Sukha Uvacha Eva Mukto Bhagavata Sokruro Vimana Eva Purim Pravishta Kamsaya Karma Vedya Griham Yayo. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus addressed by the Lord, Akura entered the city with a heavy heart. He informed King Kams of the success of his mission and then went home. Ataparane Bhagavan Krishna Sankarsanavita Maturam Pravishad Gopair Didikshu Parivarita. Lord Krishna desired to see Mathura. So toward evening, he took Lord Balaram and the cowherd boys with him and entered the city. Kind of a long bunch of verses here. We'll skip the sentences. 4 or 5 verses here. The Lord saw Mathura with all its tall gates and household entrances made of crystal, its immense archways and main doors of gold, its granaries and other storehouses of copper and brass, its impregnable moats, beautifying the city were pleasant gardens and parks. The main intersections were fashioned of gold, and there were mansions with private pleasure gardens, along with guild halls and many other buildings. Mathura resounded with the calls of peacocks, meow, meow, and pet turtle doves, who chant Radhisham, Radhisham, who sat in the small openings of the lattice windows and on the gem-studded floors and also on the column balconies and on the ornate rafters in the front of the houses. These balconies and rafters were adorned with Vaidurya stones, diamonds, crystal, quartz, sapphires, coral, pearls, and emeralds, and all the royal avenues and commercial streets were sprinkled with water, as were the side roads in the courtyards, and flower garlands, newly grown sprouts, parched grains, and rice had been scattered around everywhere. Gracing the house's doorways were elaborately decorated pots filled with water, which were bedecked with mango leaves, smeared with yogurt and sandalwood paste, and encircled by flower petals and ribbons. Near the pots were flags, rows of lamps, bunches of flowers, and trunks of banana and betel nut trees. Purport. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur gives this description of the elaborately decorated pots. On either side of each doorway, above of the scattered rice is a pod. And circling each pod are flower petals. On its neck are ribbons, and in its mouth are leaves of mango and other trees. Above each pod, on a gold plate, are rows of lamps. A trunk of a banana tree stands on either side of each pod, and a betel nut tree trunk stands in front and also behind. Flags lean against the pots. So we're just getting a glimpse of the opulence of Mathura, even though this Kamsa was such a rascal. Somehow by defeating so many other kings, he had so much opulence. We're just amazed hearing they made gates out of gold. We can't imagine today gold is like $1,800 an ounce, and whole gate is made of gold. We can't even imagine such things. And emeralds and diamonds and rubies and pearls and water pots filled with water. Water pots filled with water is always a very auspicious sign. And here it's described that not only decorated with chandan, but smeared with yogurt. This sounds very interesting. Yogurt and chandan mixed together make beautiful designs on the water pots. And on top of the water pots, there's in the mouths of the water pots, mango leaves. On top, there's what does he say? On a golden plate, a rows of lamps. Just imagine, on top there's a plate, and then all around in a circle, so many rows of lamps are lit there. Just and all the roads are sprinkled with water, and everything is so many beautiful decorations are there. We're very proud of our cities, but they're just nothing compared to Mathura. Tam sampravisto va tam pravisto vasudeva nandano vritto vayasyair naradeva vartmana dastum samijus tvarita purasriyok harmanyani chaivararuru ruruhur nipok sukha. The women of Mathura hurriedly assembled and went forth to see the two sons of Vasudeva as they entered the city on the king's road, surrounded by their cowherd boyfriends. Some of the women, my dear king, eagerly climbed to the roofs of their houses to see them. Kaschid viparya drigavastrabhusana bismritya chaikam yugalesh vatapara kritaika patra sravanaika nupura naktva dvitiyam dvaparascha lochanam. Some of the ladies put their clothes and ornaments on backwards. Others forgot one of their earrings or ankle bells, and others applied makeup on one eye but not on the other. Purport. The ladies were very eager to see Krishna, and in their haste, excitement, they forgot, that they completely forgot themselves. So here we see the ladies are so excited to see Krishna, they did not even complete their makeup. Somehow they put the sari around upside down, and they put one earring, forgot the other ring, they put kajal around one eye, but they forgot other eye. Must have been a very amusing sight for Krishna to see all these funny things as they climb to the roof. Now this is very amazing because generally the ladies are very, very careful to decorate themselves because they're very, very attached to their appearance. But here we see because they were attached to Krishna, they forgot about themselves. The mighty devotees always tell us to become selfless. But selfless doesn't mean that we don't have any self. Selfless means that we are only anxious to see Krishna. They completely forgot all their vanity, which is practically impossible for a woman. But because Krishna is so attractive, they forgot all their vanity and just whatever condition they were in, half upside down dressed, half makeup, they just ran to the roof to see Krishna. We also have example of this near Barsana. There's one village called Anjanok, which is the village of Induleka. And it's not far from Barsana. Actually, as soon as you get to Anjanoka, then you can see the beautiful temple of Barsana resting on top of the hill. So there Krishna played on his flute, and Radharani, she came running to that place without finishing her makeup. So she arrived on that place, and Krishna was laughing to see the Radharani's makeup is only half done. So then he took one stone, and he rubbed a little water on that stone, and then he finished doing the makeup of Radharani and drawing beautiful little drawings on her different limbs like this. So if you go there to that village, Anjanok, behind there's a little kund. Beside that, you have to go behind the village, through the whole village, and there's a little kund. Beside that kund, there's a little temple. In that temple is the Anjana Shila. That Shila is still there. You can rub that Shila with a little water, and then black kajal comes, and you can decorate your eyes. We always go there. One, my godbrother, his wife, she just smeared her hand like that, it became whole black. And she says, okay, I'm not going to wash this hand for 1 year until we come back to Vrindavan. So that village became, because we know Anjana means ointment, so that village became known as Anjanavan or Anjanok. And there also is the little deity of Induleka. This is the village of Induleka, one of the Astasakis. So even Radharani forgot herself by being attracted by Krishna. So this is the idea that we become completely absorbed in serving Krishna. We're always, all day long, we're simply worrying about our own sense gratification. And we're completely convinced that we're the center of the universe, that everything revolves around me, and everybody should pay attention to me. And we're very meticulous and all, and very careful that somehow or other our desires will be fulfilled. We're always very anxious in this way, and always very anxious that everyone will notice us, very anxious that we get sense gratification. But here, the gopis, they're completely attached to just pleasing Krishna. And that is Krishna consciousness. We just become absorbed. We lose ourselves doesn't mean that we become dead stone. Prabhupada said, the Mayavadis say that when you realize God, then you stop talking. He says, stop talking means to become a dead stone. If to realize God means to become a dead stone, I do not care to know what is God. Now you can hear the tape, Prabhupada says, I do not care to know what is God. Actually, to realize God means that you have so much to say that 24 hours a day is two less hours to finish speaking about Krishna. So Krishna consciousness means, instead of worrying about our sense gratification all day long, we worry about the sense gratification of the Lord. That's automatically if you forget. We're in anxiety that whether my senses will be satisfied, whether people will notice me, whether people will pay attention to me. We're always worried about ourselves all day long. But if we give up that attitude and just worry about how to please Krishna, then we become peaceful. We're in a complete anxiety. This place is known as Kunta, and the Lord's known as Vaikunta, without anxiety. So we're always in anxiety. Will I become happy? Will I get sense gratification? They're serving at the Sunday feast and the rasgullas are running out. When he comes down the line, will I get a rasgulla or not? And if he sees he gave his friend two rasgullas, then we become very angry. Oh, just see. Because he's in the opposition party to our group. And he gave to his group too. Oh, just see this rascal. We're just calculating like this all day long. And just being envious all day long. Because Shikanta means we forget all that. We give up, forget about our sanskrit. We worry about how to please Krishna. And everyone's absorbed. Then we lose ourself, not that we become nothing, but we become servant of Krishna. That is real meaning of losing the self, that no longer I'm thinking that I'm the enjoyer, we are thinking that Krishna is the enjoyer. And when you're always observed and absorbed in pleasing Krishna, just like Radhanath Swami tells the wonderful story of Ganesha. He was a prince. He came to Braj and just fell in love with Braj, like many of us. He gave up everything. And he was completely absorbed in serving Ganesham and serving the devotees of Ganesham. He would come, he would give, oh, Gopi Balava has kept some rotis for you. And he would give him those rotis. And one sadhu said, why are you bothering Ganesham? He hasn't eaten for 3 days. He said, what? He said, he told me he has so many rotis. Where he's got rotis? He goes to 2-3 houses, gets some rotis, and whatever rotis he gets every day, he's giving to you. He's not eating anything. He's not worried about himself. He's worried about pleasing Lord and devotees. And when we become worried about pleasing the Lord and his devotees, then we forget all our worries and anxieties and our... Because if we're absorbed in serving the Lord, Prabhupada said the servant practically is on the same level as the master. We're just describing the opulence of Mathura. We can't imagine the opulence of Krishna. And those who are serving Krishna, they're enjoying the same opulence like Krishna is enjoying. Just like here we have beautiful temple, and we're all staying here serving Krishna. Now we're living in the same temple, and Krishna's getting nice food, and we're also eating whatever is leftovers, we're getting those leftovers. So practically we're enjoying on same, just we have to give up that idea that this is mine. As soon as we give up that I want my own, and we just think how to please Krishna, then we live on the same level as Krishna. So all these gopis, they completely forgot themselves, not that they become dead stones, but they were very excited. They wanted to see Krishna. They wanted to hear the tinkling of Krishna's ankle bells as Krishna Balaram. And maybe he's going to talk to his friends. They'll hear his sweet lotus voice. They're anxious to have all their senses absorbed in Krishna. This is the real oneness. This is the real giving up our ego. Not that we give up our identity, but we become absorbed in pleasing Krishna with all of our senses and with all of our activities and with all of our very being. Then we become selfless. When we become selfless, then we stop all this worrying and we become peaceful, become very happy. And we can enjoy the Anandam Buddhi Vardhana, that great ocean of transcendental bliss. So this is, Prabhupada said, this is practical samadhi. This other samadhi, just to sit and stop everything. How long we can sit, especially in Kali Yuga, we're completely disturbed at every moment. And how long you can sit still? We can't sit still. But cooking for Krishna, singing for Krishna, dancing for Krishna, raising children for Krishna, we can be absorbed 24 hours a day in samadhi. 24 hours a day in samadhi. It's practical samadhi, Prabhupada said. Always be absorbed in serving Krishna. Forget about our sense gratification. You'll see, as soon as you get in this mood of service, trying to satisfy the Lord, trying to satisfy the devotees, then all your anxieties go. Your only anxiety is to satisfy the devotees. And that anxiety is very sweet. So we should always, this is the consciousness that we have to strive for, satisfying the Lord and his devotees, instead of how I'm going to satisfy myself. Your senses will never be satisfied. One time I was in Los Angeles, Prabhupada said, so you have been enjoying sense gratification for millions and millions of lifetimes. Anyone can say, now I'm fully satisfied. I was sitting there in a temple room in LA. But anybody can say, now I'm fully satisfied. I don't want anything. Anyone can say? No, no one can say. You've tried for millions of lifetimes. So you just give this one tiny life to one. Millions of lifetimes you already tried to satisfy your senses. Nobody can say, now I don't want anything. I'm fully satisfied. Nobody can. So just this one tiny lifetime, you try to satisfy Krishna. Already you have millions. You will get millions more if you don't. So you just one tiny lifetime, you try to satisfy Krishna. And you will go back to home, back to Godhead, and enjoy with Krishna eternally. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Said the same thing to Krishna. He said, to control the mind is easier to control the wind. And we see nobody can control the wind. Sometimes you get such a wind here, everything is blown away. Nobody can stop it. So what does Krishna tell Arjuna? He says, abhyas, by practice. Just like sometimes in Braj, we go to, last night we were giving example of hand pump. But some places in Braj we go, there's not even hand pump, there's only well. And if you go to that well, you see there's stones, all four sides of the well, there's stones, and the stones, grooves are cut. Now nobody came with a chisel and a hammer and cut those grooves. The Brijvasis, they have a saying, they say, karak karak abhyase, jarmati hota sajan, rasari avata javase, shilpar pari nishan. That karak karak abhyas, by practice, even a jarmati, jarmati means dull-witted fellow, and sajan means gentleman, even a dull-witted fellow can become gentleman, by practice. Just like in British plays, we have one play is there, what is that? My Fair Lady. One lady, she was speaking very low class type of English. The rhine and spine rhymes mindly in the pline, mate. So this fellow took her under his wing, and by practice and by practice and by practice, finally she could say, the rain in Spain rains mainly in the plain. Huh? And what is the proof? That by practice, he says, rasari avata javate shilpar parinisha. Now all those grooves in that rock were cut by the rope. Now you say, that's impossible. Rope is a soft thing and stone is a hard thing. And the rope is going in the water, becoming more soft. If I tell you to cut stone with a rope, you say, forget it, impossible. But we see, avata javate, avata, coming and going, Shilpar, just like Govardhan Shila, Shil means stone, Shilpar Pari Nishan, Nishan means mark. The groove is there. Just by this soft rope, going and coming, coming and going, comes. So our heart, also just like stone. In this Mahamantra, Lord's name, he's very soft thing. How will we cut this stone heart? It's not possible. But abhyas, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By staying in association of devotees and chanting very carefully and serving the Vaishnavas, then gradually by practice, by practice, by practice. See, the problem is now we're in internet age. Everybody just wants to click on the link, and bas, kaam ho gaya. There must be some link I can just click and I'll become Krishna conscious. Because like they always ask, how do we control lust? They want some link, they click and boom, I'll be free from lust. No such link is there. This internet age has spoiled us. We want everything like that. abhyas is going to take some practice. Karak karak abhyas. You have to practice and practice and practice. But there's hope, because if even the stone can be cut by rope, then this practice, this holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Jai Sri Sri Radha Golokananda Ki Jai. Then by mercy of Radha Golokananda, even this stone-like heart will be cut. It'll take some effort. We want everything now without effort. Just like Bhakti Raghav Swami, he's there in India trying to set up Echo Village. But to find people who want to work on the farm, everybody just wants to sit behind a computer and just click on the link, click. Who wants to plow the field and plant a seed? This internet age has destroyed everyone. There's no link that you can click on. You have to work. And Prabhupada said, for every step you take towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 towards you. So there's hope. This little sloka from the Vrishvasi gives us some hope. Any other question? There's no other questions, and we can fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who's given us some hope by chanting this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.